for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 1st, 2002. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Brother Steve Sellers is the minister of the morning. This morning, one of the members of the family of Lake Hamilton Bible Campground is going to come and minister for us, Brother Steve Sellers. And it's a privilege to have the family living here with us now for a while and for him to come and minister the word of the Lord this morning. Brother Sellers.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe God is good? And all the time. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I enjoy ministering the word. I am envious of these men that have been teaching this week. I wish I knew the word as good as they do. But my goal is to know it to the best of my ability. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife and son and daughter left this morning about 6 o'clock to take my daughter up to Russellville. So they're on the road right now. Good to see Brother Ron with us. He just came out of surgery yesterday, or day before. Yesterday. Amen. God is good. All the time. Amen. Doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are. God is good. You know, I said something got a hold of me the other day. And I said it, I believe, a week ago or a couple weeks ago, how, you know, we can stand up and sing wonderfully. Been a lot of singing going on this week. Wonderful singing. Wonderful worship to God. But you know, it reminded me of Tommy Tenney giving a story of how he's sitting in his recliner reading the paper, and his little girl sitting down there, "Daddy, Daddy, watch me do this somersault." You know, he just pays little attention to her because he has seen her do a perfect somersault. He has seen how good she can be. Amen? So it doesn't bother him, or it doesn't attract his attention that well. Pretty soon he's there reading the paper. His daughter goes out in the yard, tries to ride her bicycle, and she falls over and gives a scream. That paper goes flying, and he goes running. God has seen us at our best. It doesn't impress Him. But what gets God's attention is when we need Him. When we are weak, He is strong. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why Paul says, "I glory in my infirmities that Christ may abound." Amen? It's because of Jesus. And these Christians that are being murdered over there, you know, we sang a song last night. Y'all have to pardon me. My eyes leak a lot. We sang a song last night, Jesus, let me be like Jesus. Do you really realize what you're singing? You know, there's a country and western song that really ought to be a Christian song. Some of God's best, gifts, some of God's best gifts is unanswered prayers. Because we don't realize what we pray for sometimes, do we? To be like Jesus, you're going to have to go to the cross. Come on. And there's a lot of us that wouldn't go. Because when the pressure gets on, we run. Hello? We don't like pressure. Some of us parents, some of us grandparents have children that are unsaved. Right? How many? We want God to bless them. We want God to save them. Yes, we want God to save them. But too many times, God wants to put them through the mill. Because it's easy to serve God in a crunch. Hello? Sometimes God is bringing them down to bring them out. Amen? There's a lot of churches that I believe God told me this pastor, the church I just pastored just here lately. I just resigned. But almost a year ago, God told me, in order for this church to live, it's going to have to die. Hello? And I believe a lot of churches need to die. When a church has been in existence for 40, 50 years and never had over 20 members, something's wrong. We've been hearing about deliverance this week, how we need to cast out these spirits, these evil spirits, these thoughts casting down the imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But did you know, if you go to a restaurant, a hamburger joint, and you order a sirloin steak, will they give it to you? Why? They don't have it. Doesn't matter how mad you get. They don't have it. Amen. Come on, Holy Ghost. Where was I going? Amen. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay, thank you, Holy Ghost. Too many times, we command the devil to get out. Come out. Do whatever. We command the devil all we want to. But if you're not obeying the commands that were given you, then the devil doesn't have to obey the commands given him. Hello? There's too many times. In other words, if you're going and you're commanding the devil to come out and he don't, something's wrong with you. If you're doing it in the name of Jesus, because we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Amen. And it's not we have to rejoice because we can command the devils out. We rejoice because our name's in the book.
That's right.
Having the power to cast out devils is surplus. That's one of the benefits. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise His holy name. I got a couple articles I want to read. You know, I'm from San Antonio, Texas. I had 5 children. Raised 3 nieces, sold 3 of my children, still got 2 for sale. I have 9 grandchildren, another one on the way. My oldest son is in Hot Springs, oldest daughter is in Midland, Texas. My next daughter is in Elsinore, California. And I got 2 at home. I'm trying to spread them out so that when my wife and I retire, we can travel and won't have a hotel bill. But I came to Arkansas, and so I don't know what will transpire. Only the Lord knows. Amen? But I come to Arkansas, and I heard a story about a highway patrolman stopped somebody, says, walked up to the window, says, "You got any ID?" He says, "About what?" And one thing I've noticed about Arkansas, if you turn your blinker on, it's when you're halfway through the turn. Why turn it on then? We already know you're going that direction, right? You know, and I told somebody, I says, "Man, I like to turn mine on way before I get to the turn. To tell everybody I'm going to turn up there." And they says, "Don't get caught." And then I was sent this. "I'm writing this letter slow because I know you can't read fast." We don't live where we did when you left home. Your dad read in the newspaper that most accidents happen within 20 miles of your home, so we moved. I won't be able to send you the address because the last Oklahoma family that lived here took the house numbers when they move so that they don't, so they wouldn't have to change their address. It's good to laugh, isn't it? Hallelujah. About that coat you wanted me to send. Your Uncle Billy Bob said it would be too heavy to send in the mail with the buttons on, so we cut them off and put them in the pockets. All right, you're laughing. Praise the Lord. Doesn't it feel good to laugh? The Bible says laughter is medicine to the bones. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm glad my name is written in the book. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that God is alive. Hallelujah. I got this email from someone. Speaking in tongues and the brain. Dr. Carter, now this is true though. Okay, this is not a joke. Dr. Carl Peterson of ORU in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is a brain specialist and was doing research on the relationship between the brain and praying in tongues. Some amazing things were discovered. Through the research and the testing, Dr. Peterson found that we pray, that as we pray in the Spirit or worship in the Spirit, there is activity that begins in our brain. As we engage in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost to our immune system. This promotes healing within our bodies. Amazing? This secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans. It is only activated by our Spirit-led prayer and worship. I'm glad I live a healthy life. Oh, God is no, God is a creator of all things. He creates things perfect. Amen? Everything. Oh, hallelujah.
Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. You ready for the Word?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remember this phrase, if it's old, it's not real. If it's real, it'll never get old. Because God's Word does not get old.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's how you receive God's Word. Hallelujah. This parable of the sower, Jesus said that if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand anything? We need to understand this parable. It's, you can teach it, you can preach it, but the most important is you got to live it. You've got to live it. Holy Spirit, use me this morning as a vessel to bring forth that which you have for us. I thank you for being here. I brought you with me, so I know you're here. Because you never leave me nor forsake me. You go where I go, you lead my steps, you guide me, and you protect me in everything that I do or say in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to be reading the whole book, the whole chapter. Too many times we stop when we think the subject changes. But just because there's an end of a chapter doesn't mean that Jesus stopped talking about that subject. Verses and chapters was put in there for our to locate a certain subject in the Bible. They're to help us. They're not to stop us. Amen? Glad to see you, Sister Hubbard. Amen. Hallelujah. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude by the sea on the land. You see how, you know, I told Brother Glenn that, you know, I'm preparing this message this week, and I kind of had a little dream last night of the pulpit being the front end of a ship. I'm sitting here teaching, and y'all are the people on the land. But it's the Holy Ghost that does the teaching, not me. All right? Hallelujah. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some what?
Fell.
Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Verse 5, and some what?
Fell.
And some fell on stony ground. Now, who is Jesus talking to? A crowd, right? A big crowd. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some what? Fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And some what?
Fell
on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now who is he talking to? He's talking to a multitude, sinners, Christians, all who wanted to listen, right? Now, verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. In other words, the disciples came up to him when Jesus was alone. And he said, Jesus, expound to us the parable that you just told the whole crowd. How many of us, who's a disciple here tonight? I am. Are we all disciples? Who's not? We're going to pray for you. Anoint you. Amen. Now he's talking to the disciples. That's a different... You talk different to your brother than you do the world, don't you? Hello? You really do. Because there's some things way up in verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and to he that hath not... From him shall be taken even that which he hath. It's up to us, has been given the ability to understand the Word of God. Because we have the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals truth. No matter what I say up here, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to tell you whether it's true or not. That's why he said, take heed what you hear. In other words, let the Holy Spirit be your revealer of truth. Amen? He's been talking to the crowd, the sinners, the whoremongers, the whores, the gamblers, thieves, robbers, all of them. He's been talking to them. Now he's talking to his saints, those when Jesus is alone, those who love to be with him. How many of you love to be with him? Amen. In your private time, just you and the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now we're going to talk a little different. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted in their sin should be forgiven them. In other words, he's saying, they don't understand. But to you, you understand because you have it. You have received it with gladness. Now, you are going to bear fruit either 30, 60, or 100-fold. Now, it could be 40%, 40-fold. It could be 70-fold. Amen? But he's just using those three as a... There's a difference between each one of us here today. Just because one of us has won 1,000 souls doesn't mean you can't win one.
All right.
Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. And he said to them, Know ye not this parable? And then how will you know all parables? Verse 14. Now Jesus goes into the parable again. The sower soweth the word is a seed. Mark 11:23 and 24 says, believe those things that you say shall come to pass. And when you speak to a mountain, speak to it and it'll be removed. Hello? But you know what most of our problem is? We don't believe everything we say is going to come to pass. But then whenever we come to a mountain, we try to speak to it and it don't happen. Oh, this faith thing don't work. Hello? We need to believe that every word that comes out of our mouth is seeds. Whether good seed, bad seed, whatever, they are seeds. Amen?
Right.
And what's the soil? Our hearts. So in other words, what kind of seed do you want sown in your heart? Good seed. So in other words, I don't expect the world to sow good seed. It's up to me to sow good seed. And it's up to me to take heed what I hear.
Amen.
Just because I hear the word, or remember Brother Glenn's been talking about curses. How is a curse given? A seed spoken.
Right.
A curse not spoken cannot affect you.
Amen.
But how do you avoid, how do you reverse the curse? Speak it. Same way. The power is in the tongue. Amen. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. So here we are, the seed. I want good seed sowed in my heart, so I'm going to be the one that speaks it. I'm going to be the one that sows good seed in my heart. By His stripes, I'm healed. That seed just came out of my mouth, into my ear, into my heart, and I'm going to reap the harvest. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Let me use this illustration. I never have headaches. I never get sick. I live a divine, healthy body. Life. Now, those are seeds that just came out of my mouth, aren't they? There's two parts to you. You have a soul, mind, intellect. Hello? And you are a spirit, right? That is my spirit sowing good seed into my flesh. Yeah, once in a while, my head may hurt, or I may get, sickness may knock at the door. Hello? But by His stripes, I'm healed. You see, I don't want to say, oh, I've got a headache, because that's seed that says, I have a headache. You are claiming that pain as your headache. Oh, my back's killing me. I don't receive those seeds. That's the way the world talks. Hello? They speak in the now. I speak to the things that are not as though they are, so that they will be. Amen. My head may be hurting. I may have 104 degrees fever, but I, by His stripes, I am healed. If you're afraid to speak something, if you're afraid to say you have a headache, or if you're afraid to say you feel sick, you're afraid to say it because you want to stay in faith. That's not faith. You can speak facts. The fact is, this is my wife. The fact is, I'm sick. I feel sick. There's sickness all over me. But the truth is, I'm healed. Because facts can change. The truth never changes. Amen. Facts can change, but the truth never changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word was what? Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is
sown.
How come it didn't fail? Have you ever noticed the difference between the two differences? Jesus talked to the crowd and Jesus talked to the saints. Not once did Jesus tell the disciples it fell. Hello? Not once. In other words, the world out there don't care. They just spitting it out. Even movies, you see on television, guys that are not Christian, they live ungodly, they'll speak the word of God, but it has no effect. They just know it in their head as a memory verse they might have learned in Sunday school. Hello? It's not down in the heart. They just speak words and they just fall wherever they may. They have no purpose. Sower just went out and just started throwing everything. That's what I said a while ago. If you're just doing it out of fear, it's not faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's right. There's healing. If you don't believe healing's for today, you won't get it. Come on. But I believe it's for today, and it's mine. And by faith, I am healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. That's why. Do I?
Health in all my flesh.
Amen. That's why you should never close your mind to the Word of God. The Holy Ghost wants to reveal something new to you every time you read it. Hello? So Jesus is talking to the crowd. He says, oh, y'all just throw out the Word like it means nothing to you. You don't believe everything you say is going to come to pass, but whenever you come to a mountain, you try to speak faith, and it don't happen, and you're blaming it on faith. You're saying faith don't work. Yes, faith works. Faith does work. But you've got to believe everything that you... The disciples, they sowed the Word. They had a purpose in what the Word coming out of their mouth. Hello? Now let's go on. We got that fact down, all right? And these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. When you walk out these doors, devil's going to attack you. He may not even wait until you walk out the door. Hello? Immediately. Hallelujah. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Why? They're on the wayside. They have no purpose in life. No meaning to their life. They're just, what will be, will be. Verse 16, and these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, aren't you glad when the Word of God is preached?
Yeah.
It takes more than receiving it with gladness, though. You've got to live it. You've got to live it. Hallelujah. And have no root in themselves. And so endure for a while. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution... What's the difference between affliction and persecution?
Affliction, health, persecution.
No. I'm sorry. I got to disagree. Affliction, look at affliction. Very few times does affliction refer to the body or sickness. The difference, a good way to put it, is affliction is pressure from without. Persecution is pressure from within. Okay? Affliction is whenever I come beat on you. I'm afflicting you. But when your mind bothers you, the devil is bombarding you with minds, the thoughts that do not pertain to life and godliness, that's persecution. Hello? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's lie. Hello? Very few times in the Word does affliction refer to sickness. When it's referring to sickness, it will say sickness usually. So there's a good way to separate the two. Affliction is pressure from without. Persecution is pressure within. Pressure that bothers the inward parts of man. Affliction is pressure that bothers the outward parts of man. Hallelujah. Arises for the Word's sake. Now there's a difference right there. A lot of times we get affliction, we get persecution, we may get sickness, we may get all kinds of tests and trials. But it's all for the Word's sake. At least it should be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All for the Word's sake. Immediately they are offended. Okay, let's have an example of that. I go to church, I preach the Word, I preach a hellfire and brimstone message, so to speak, just something, a convicting message. Hello? Have you ever been under one of those? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and by the way, while I'm right here, did you know preaching is for the ungodly, teaching is for the godly? Preaching is mainly for the world. Go out, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. When Jesus was in the temple, he never preached. He taught them. Amen. And too many times, I've been right there. I'll go to a church and they want me to come and hold a mighty preaching sermon. I'll come up there and I'll do some teaching. Oh, man, we need some preaching. Something's wrong. You need some teaching. Come on. You need the teaching. You need to go preach.
All right.
That's the difference.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The church does the preaching, the ministers does the teaching. Now, don't hold that as a golden rule, okay? Because sometimes the church needs preaching. Because a lot of times the devil moves into the church. Hello? Once in a while, no. I'm not going to speak much about it because he'll move in. I'm not out there fighting the devil, like our sister said. No. There's lots of devils out there. There's devils maybe sitting right next to you. I'm not going to fight them. The only fight I'm going to fight is the fight of faith. I married an angel. Yeah, she's always up in the air harping about something. No, I'm in trouble now. No, my wife is wonderful. Amen. She's wonderful. Oh, he's going to go tell. Oh, man. No. Praise the Lord. I married a wonderful wife. We've been married 30, going on 31 years now. You know, we were in primary Sunday school class together. Well, I mean, that little. And grew up together, knowing each other. We went steady for 4.5 years. We were engaged for 1 year and 3 months. And on a Friday of a revival, God just laid on both of our hearts to get married. We had our wedding date set for June the 3rd. On Friday, March of 1972, we tried to get married the next Monday, but you know how that back then you had to have a blood test. And the results weren't back yet, so we had to wait until Tuesday. Got married. June the 3rd was our mother's funeral. You know, I know God has a purpose in everything that we do. Yes. Everything. I said everything. Yes. The steps. The steps. Say the steps.
Yes.
Of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. It does not say the footprints.
Uh-huh.
If you're standing still, you're not doing what God told you to do.
Yes.
The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Got to keep moving. Amen. Praise. Have a purpose in your life. Have a goal that you're going to do. Have something that you're going to accomplish in life. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sorry for that rabbit trail. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and become unfruitful. We've got to be careful about what affects the word. We received it with gladness. Why not keep it? Come on.
Uh-huh.
And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Jesus almost repeated the same parable to his disciples that he did the world, but he says to you, you ought to have a purpose for what you sow. And he also said in the scriptures, don't cast your pearl before swine. What the Word of God is the most precious thing in my life. Hello? It's the most precious thing. That's pearls to my life. And I'm not just going to throw them out there to the world for the world to make fun out of them. You know, one lady quit coming to church because she called me. She'd been divorced for 20 years. Her husband's in the hospital, dying of cancer. They don't expect him to live through the night. So I run up there, and I come in there, family all around the room. And every one of them, every single one of them, oh, he's lived a hard life. He's ready to go, or I guess it must be his time. And doubt, 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 doubt. If Jesus himself came in there, he couldn't raise the dead. So much doubt was being spoken. And am I going to waste a prayer in a room full of doubt and unbelief? I'm sorry. That's my pearls. I believe that every prayer that I pray is going to come to pass. But I cannot force my beliefs. I cannot force God's doctrine on somebody else. Hello? You can't force people to get saved. If that was possible, the whole world would be saved. We could do it. Amen. And because I didn't pray when I went up there, she got offended and left the church, quit coming to church. See, the church needs teaching. The church needs to believe in every word that they speak is going to come to pass. I don't care how down in the valley you get. What my son went back there in the back when he was 7 years old, fell out of the back of the truck, was dead for 30 minutes, almost 30 minutes. God raised him up. Amen. I don't care how dark it gets. God is still there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. You've got to start believing in everything that you say is going to come to pass. Because some of those things will bring curses. The curse causeless shall not come. Amen? Hallelujah. Then he goes straight into another parable. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? What is a candle? The light. What is the light? The Word giveth light. When you receive the Word like it does in verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. The reason it brought forth fruit, because it's light, you received it. How many likes to walk in a room complete darkness? You can't walk very fast, right? You've got to... Hello? Come on. But in a room that's got light in it, you could take off running, can't you? That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to have a purpose in life. He wants you to get going. Not the steps of a righteous man. Not the footprints. Amen? Hallelujah. Candle to be brought under a bushel. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. In other words, there's not one revelation in God's Word that He does not want to reveal. He wants the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal God's Word, the truth of His Word, to you, to me, to all of us. There's nothing in God's Word that is to be hidden. Amen? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That's all it takes. That's all it takes to hear from God, is to have the ear to hear. Amen? Say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me your truth. The truth about God's Word. And I will receive it. And it will bear fruit in my life. Today. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more be given. How many of us have some ministers that you don't like? I'm going to raise my hand. That way you can go ahead and be honest. There's some ministers I don't like, but I will not condemn them. I don't care what evil they have done. I don't care what sin they have done. It's not my job to condemn them. Because I may have done a sin. Is there a big sin and a little sin?
No.
Hello? Exactly. So if I'm casting, trying to get the mote out of his, or speck out of his eye, I've got a mote in mine. Hello? The word mote means slightest little flaw. Amen. We should not judge to the slightest little flaw. Jesus is saying in that scripture, stop judging so that you won't be judged. Because when a judgment comes, what comes with it?
Consequences.
Amen. And I don't want consequences of my sin.
No. Amen.
So therefore, I'm not going to judge somebody else. Hello? Now, since I don't judge him, with the same measure, it will be measured back to me. Luke chapter 6 says, forgive so that you can be forgiven. Because if you don't forgive, my Father in heaven can't forgive. Amen? In other words, he's saying that at the same time, don't judge so that my Father won't judge you. But if you judge, my Father's going to have to judge you. Hello? Hallelujah. Verse 25, for he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. What? What are we talking about? What is the main subject we're talking about? The sower sows the Word. He that hath, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. In other words, Joshua 1:8 says, let not my words depart from your mouth. It doesn't mean stop speaking them. It says don't stop speaking them. Continually, let my words come forth out of your mouth. Amen. That's what it means. But if you've got some word in you, who's got word in them? If you've got some word in you and you don't give it, that which you have is going to be taken away.
Amen.
Come on. By His stripes I'm healed. That word is in me. It's down in me. It's abiding in me. Amen? But if I don't tell somebody else the same thing, I'm going to get sick. Because the word that I had in me is going to leave. It's going to be taken away. Because why did God save you? Because He loved somebody else. Because He had somebody else in mind. And He loved somebody else because He loved you. Come on. It's a continuing thing. From Genesis to maps, it's a seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Give and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. Give and you shall receive. If you stop giving, you're going to stop receiving. Hello? Verse 26, and he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. It's not, you're not determined. What I said a while ago, you cannot force people to get saved. All you can do is sow seed. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Have a purpose in the seeds that you're sowing. Hello? I like, who was it? Shambach. One of R.W. Shambach's friends wasn't a Christian. And he told Brother Shambach, he said, yeah, but I like to drink, I like to smoke, I like to go to bars and have dances, I like to have fun, all this stuff. And R.W. said, look, if you give your heart to Jesus, you can do whatever you want to do. And so he did. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, he just didn't want to do those things no more. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, for first the blade, then the ear, after that the full ear of corn. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we be likened unto the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we liken it? Compare it. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. In other words, when you've got the Word of God, even the world wants to be near you. Did you know, when our little twins were born, one of them was 1 pound, 13 ounces, the other was 2 pounds, and they were born here in St. Joe, and they were shipped to Children's Hospital, Little Rock. Even there was a rule up there that parents of their children could not even go over and look at other babies. You were not allowed to. If they saw you going over and looking, get out. You're barred from coming in there, even to see your own grandkids. You know why? Because they know some truth. And they know that some people are out there to speak curses over little babies. Hello? And if sometimes maybe the mother of her children is over there to speak a curse over the baby next door, they don't allow that. And that's the reason for that rule. Because we don't want curses spoken or things pronounced on these other babies. The world knows it's real. Hello? And if the world knows it's real, we ought to know it's real. Hallelujah. You know, there's a saying I say about healing. It's not so much the faith that performs the miracle, because all you've got to have is a faith as a grain of mustard seed. So it's not trying to get great faith. It's not the amount of faith that performs a miracle, but it's the amount of doubt that prevents it. If you get rid of the doubt, you've got nothing but faith, whether it's as small as a grain of mustard seed. And that's all it takes. We're constantly trying to be good enough for God to bless. Hello? Get rid of the doubt, and God will bless you. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to skip down to verse 35. What does it say, the first four words?
And the same day.
The same day. Now, Jesus has been talking about sowing the seeds. Hello? When does the devil come?
Immediately.
Immediately, he cometh to steal the word. Right? All right, now, the same day, when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Hallelujah. How many is going to the other side with me? Praise the Lord. Let's go. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind. Immediately, the devil's going to try something to get the word out of you. Storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Immediately, when the word, even to the disciples, after the word had been spoken to them, immediately, the same day, Jesus put them to the test and they failed. Why are we so shocked when we fall? Amen? The same day. Jesus, the word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes it what it sent out to do. Sometimes the word is sent to us to show us how weak we are. How dumb we are. Come on. And you don't know, like that, I was reading this sign while here. Go. Have you read my number one bestseller? There will be a test. That's why the word is sent out, to let you know that God is bigger than you are. That's why the word was sent to you, to let you know that God can handle the situation. Who did he speak to when he called the storm to be still? Who did he speak to? Did he say, storm, Satan, be still, get out of here? No, he said, peace. He spoke to peace. He said, peace, be still. Sometimes we need to just sit down, stop worrying, stop fretting, and just let peace take over. God's word is bigger than we can imagine. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't even imagine the things that he can do for us. Amen? Let's just sit back and take life like it's supposed to be, more abundantly. Because the word always causes me to triumph. Amen? Praise the Lord. You enjoy it? Hallelujah. You going to be an overcomer?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Say, Father, I receive your word with gladness.
I receive
it down into my heart. And it's going to bear fruit in this good ground of mine. And that fruit shall remain. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.